Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. And in this episode, I'm talking with Josh Lucas and Stephen Plunkett. Josh and Stephen star in The Mend, John Magary's feature directorial debut. The film is about two brothers, Matt and Alan, played by Josh and Stephen. Matt's angry and lazy and quite possibly an alcoholic, while Alan is stable and on the verge of asking his longtime girlfriend Farah to marry him. When Alan returns home from a vacation without Farah, he discovers that Matt has taken over his apartment and had his girlfriend and son move in. Josh and Stephen are really, really terrific, and their brotherly conversations, arguments, and overall interactions are just so true and perfect. Josh, who is one of our favorites here at Daily Actor, and Stephen were at South by Southwest for the premiere of the film, and I got a chance to talk with them. I talked to them about the film, not rehearsing, if it's tiring playing somebody who's so angry, on-set nervousness, and a whole lot more. I think you're going to like this one. I just want to let you know that Daily Actor has a whole new look. New logo, new design, new everything. Check it out when you get a chance. We also have casting director mailing labels, website design, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, all that and more. Check it out at dailyactor.com. And now, here's Josh and Stephen.
I like the movie a lot.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. The only thing I didn't like about it was that I was sitting next to a big fat guy and I had to go like this the whole time. I had the arm messed up. Aside from being uncomfortable. Yeah. So what did you guys think? Was it the first time you saw it? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's the movie, actually, oddly enough. I had seen a rough cut of it a while ago. Stephen just saw it the other night for the first time. He wasn't there at the screening.
I just flew in from New York last night, but I'd seen that cut on my TV. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see the big screen version this afternoon. But I was pleased. Mm-hmm. It's a movie that really... it's hard to really know what it's going to be beforehand. It's not... Somebody's like... You read the scripts, and then you see it, and you're like, oh, that's about what I would have expected based on the script. But I feel like John has a really distinctive voice, and the movie is shot in this kind of unusual style, which I loved. It was something that it was unexpected. It was great.
You know, it's interesting. When I first read the script, I was like, I don't understand this. I don't know what this is, you know, I don't understand, because it's there's nothing improvisational about this script. I mean, it's really precise writing, and even the overlapping fight is like overlapping dialogue where you see both sections, and, you know, like, there's even a point in the script which actually didn't make it in the movie where you have four characters talking at the exact same time, and literally there'd be blocks of four pieces of dialogue that, you know, he's trying to figure out how to overlay them in the shooting of it. But I was, you know, kind of in reading it thinking, like, I don't even know how this is, what this is, you know, or what's the point in a way. Like, where, you know, because it's structurally abnormal. If you talk about like the Sid Field script writing story, like there is the B where, you know, 30 pages in something changes, but it isn't like the normal, like, oh, now you're on this journey. It's a completely abstract kind of film in that it's observational, it's slice of life. And I go back to like the Cassavetes of it all. Like, the Cassavetes, from what I understand, his stuff was very improvisational. And this is totally not. And down to the way it's shot, it's just precision.
You guys said last night that there was no rehearsal. And just from what you're talking about, like, that would seem like madness, almost, like trying to do that, like, on take one, you know, like with all the overlapping dialogue and everything. That
we'd get to a set and kind of run through it, but again, I think it's a testament to what John and his preparation for it. And also, I think, you know, look, it's John's story, it's a personal story, it's a story, like, I think each character has a real relationship to his own life. And so, in the shooting of it, we would come into it, and yes, he would be discovering it, but he also knew it. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you have liked to have any sort of rehearsal time?
contradicting themselves.
For film, I mean, do you guys like have a rehearsal time for film?
I can go either way. Yeah. I mean, we met together a couple times just to kind of feel each other out.
I was going to ask you that.
And like get to know each other. We didn't like rehearse per se, like you rehearse a play. To me, that's sort of more important, is to like get to know the other people you're going to be playing with and develop a level of comfort and openness. The nice thing about not rehearsing is everything you discover happens in front of the camera. And so, you know, sometimes you rehearse a play or something, something brilliant happens, but it's in the rehearsal room, and, you know, you develop something that's kind of based on that, but you never get that exact moment of brilliance.
That's the joy of film.
But being on film, you know, you can catch it all. And if you get, you know, maybe you have hours and hours of shit, but if you have just like a little bit of something great, then you can really do something about it.
Yeah.
That, I mean, look, I can honestly maybe admit that I'm a little bit impatient with rehearsing when it comes to film for that exact same reason, but one of my favorite directors on earth is Paul Greengrass, and my understanding about Paul Greengrass is that he spends his entire day rehearsing and only shoots a little bit.
And
that's part of the greatness of his movies, is that... And that's, to me, it's fascinating because his work also seems to look very raw and improvised in a way. But in reality, my understanding is that, like, he even says, like, I could make studios insane because they look at the, you know, the daily tally of how much we've shot, and it's very little because we spent the whole day rehearsing. And I don't know, it's a really mystifying shift that can work well for some movies and then not at all for others.
I guess if you're trying to get a really specific frame, a really specific shot, then maybe you need to rehearse that a lot. But otherwise, it seems to me that the great thing about the medium is the fact that you don't have to work like that, and why not take advantage of what's great about it?
One of the both incredible strengths and, I would say, weaknesses of digital, and like, for example, on Lincoln Lawyer, this movie that I did, the director was literally just leaving the camera running for an hour or four, it was about 40 minutes at a time. And there would be... Exactly, well... So I spoke to the editors, and they were saying, we're basically downloading the equivalent of one of those large digital files, like, you know, the boxes, basically every single day of just... And they couldn't, honestly, even get through it because there was so much. And I think it would be all right because they were literally just like having a fast-forward during the times where there was just a conversation happening on set. And there can be real laziness to that. But at the same time, there can be some glimmer of something extraordinary where, bam, there's a moment, and a great editor, a great director will be like, remember that little piece there where Josh does this thing, and maybe it was even in a conversation that wasn't exactly about the scene? I mean, it's kind of amazing what has changed with digital that way.
Yeah. I'm sure you've shot on films, like film, and you've sort of gone through the words transition. How do you like it? I mean, is it more freeing to be on digital now? You know what I mean? Where you don't have that.
That's why I say it's a really mixed bag in the sense of that there is one of the things that has happened, has changed, is that film demands a level of precision and preparation that I think has oftentimes been dismissed with digital. And that's why I say there can be a laziness, because it can be like, oh, it doesn't really matter, we'll just leave the camera rolling and we'll work it out, as opposed to film, because it's expensive for that, you know, 3 minutes of shooting. You don't do that, and that's the change I find. I mean, John is a different director here, where he knew this script like the back of his hand in a way that he had storyboarded every single shot. And to me, that's what I've found is the difference between a great director these days and someone who really knows what they're doing, and that they can throw that out when they get to set because the digital will allow that. But film is a remarkably different reality on set, that's for sure.
Was he a big stickler for, like, you got to say these lines this way, you know, kind of like a play? You know?
No, but he did, really. But it was precise language, but no. Yeah, no, he was, you know, loose with that.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally he'd be like, no, I need you to say, that, but it wasn't because he's like in love with the lines he wrote as much as he wrote them for a specific reason.
There's no
intention that he wants to convey.
I found the times that I tried to change things or wanted to change things, I was wrong. Like, there's a reason why it was written the way it was written. Like, it was well thought out. And so I would be like, oh, you know, like, even during the fight, for example, like I say, this overlaying, like, you know, fight that's looking like we're just two guys yelling at each other. It was down to, like, he would say something and my response, I would realize, was not just to him, but it was to something he'd said much earlier, which I couldn't, I would forget about it, but in John's mind, he knew why that was there and why it lay there, exactly right there. Get down on your knees and
propose it to me.
And I was like, oh, wait, what, why? And I was like, oh, of course, because he's proposing his girlfriend earlier in the movie, this will make sense, but 30 days into a shoot, you kind of forget, like, oh, there's that section of it as well.
How long was the shoot?
28 days, whatever.
Is it, you play kind of an angry guy. Is it tiring just to be like that the whole time?
Yeah, you know what? It is, to be honest with you. And I think it is. Like, I saw this thing the other day about, what's her name? The great actress who just won Best Actress for Blue Valentine.
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett. Okay. And her husband was saying, you know, she comes home and she just, it's, her work is immediately gone and she's just Kate and she's lovely and happy. I just am not that kind of person. Like, I definitely get affected by it. I definitely feel like it's kind of in me. Not that I want it to be, but like, it was just sort of grumpy. But also, the reality of this movie was that it was really kind of tough to make from a, it was constricted. There was, you know, not just from a comfort standpoint. I mean, there was times where I'd walk downstairs and there was not even a chair to sit down in. Literally, there were so many people. And I remember walking in the bathroom at one point, and the bathroom was, like, so disgusting because of how many people, extras and everyone was there using the bathroom. And that sort of stuff that I think normally I would have not, you know, but whatever, like, in max mode. I was really pissed off about. But on top of it, we were shooting all nights, so you're kind of, your circadian rhythms are...
Well, it wasn't just all nights, it was like all days, then all nights, then half
and then
it's like, I didn't know if I was asleep or awake.
We did these weird splits. We started going to work at 3:30 in the morning and working from 3:30 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon. So you were just completely rattled. We were saying before, like, we were going to work when everyone was coming home drunk. Like, multiple times I had weird experiences on the subway because everyone's drunk. Uh-huh. There's no reason to be on the subway. No one's going to work at 4 o'clock.
Except for us,
And it was a long, long subway ride.
And as soon as you get used to, like, the all nights or, you know, the splits or whatever, you have a day off and then you do something different. It's like the whole process is all over again. Which is kind of good for the movie just because everything's so... such a mess. It wasn't comfortable.
Do you kind of take it home too? Because he's all kind of external anger, and you're sort of internalizing the whole thing. Except for, you know.
Part. Yeah, yeah. No, I do kind of take it home. I'm not able to really like let it go until it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. I always trying to.
No.
You know, bring myself, my own experiences to it, and so in trying to do that,
where do they?
You know, it's with me on the subway. It's with me when I wake up in the morning.
You're doing a show right now.
I'm doing a play. Yeah.
So you got to be there tomorrow.
No, actually, we strangely this week we have Monday and Tuesday off.
So, oh yeah.
I have two shows on Wednesday, but I leave tomorrow.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's going really well. We opened a couple weeks ago. We got really good reviews.
I saw that, yeah.
Are you New York based?
No, I'm LA. Yeah. But I go to New York like 2 times a year and spend all my money at TKTS. And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. So I love theater and I'm a complete junkie. Have you done anything recently? I remember last time we talked. Yeah,
I'm hungry to the point of, you know, starving a little bit for it. It's been about 4 years since I've done a play, and I've done a play basically my whole life, about every 18 months, 12 to 18 months. And this is the first time that gap has been really long. And I don't necessarily know why. I know, you know, I have a child in my life. I know that, you know, my life has sort of been a little bit different in that way, but I'm really hungry for it. And acting is such, like, it's such a muscle. It's interesting, last year I did 4 movies back to back to back to back, and by the 4th movie, which was The Mend, I felt like I was in really good shape, you know, good acting shape. And then, honestly, right now I haven't worked since The Mend, and I feel like I have started to work on a movie just now, and I literally felt just like when you go back to the gym, I was like completely rattled. I was like a little bit uncomfortable, insecure, whatever it was, like, you know, all the different things, like, just like you do when you're like out of shape. And so I imagine doing a play right now, I feel the exact same way. You do, it's such a muscle, it's so unique that way.
Yeah. You guys still get nervous at all, like, either, you know, before you go on stage or before you like do a big scene or the first day of shooting?
Yeah. My first job ever was in American Psycho. Well, not my first job, but one of my first jobs was in American Psycho. And I remember driving to set the very first day with Willem Dafoe. And I was really nervous, actually. And I said to him, I like took this big breath, and it was in a, you know, normal van driving to set. And I was like, I'm really, really nervous. I gotta admit, I'm fucking scared right now. And he was like, he turns and looks back at me, and he's like, me too. And I'm like, Willem Dafoe, man, like the Oscar winning Willem Dafoe. And he was like, I said, and he, I remember being so struck by this. He said, if I don't get nervous, something's wrong. And ever since then, I felt that a little bit. I felt like, ooh, wow, that's a good.
It's a sign. It's a sign of life.
Yeah.
For me with this one, I've been attached to the movie for almost like a year and a half. So I'd spent a lot of time with the scripts. I really loved it. I felt I really responded to it. I'd spent a lot of time reading and rereading and preparing. So there was an element of like, okay, now the rubber is going to hit the road, and now it's going from in my mind and imagination and hopes to do a real thing that's on screen, and that's just like.
But also for you and for John, it had been a movie that multiple times had been very close to happening and didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that start-stop feeling that's very unnerving in a way. And, you know, these movies are, they're like relationships in the sense that you feel very connected to them. And when suddenly they don't happen or they get delayed, or and every time, particularly a smaller movie like this gets delayed, there's a good chance it's not going to happen. And there's kind of a heartbreak that goes along with that. I would imagine for this one, particularly for the what, multiple times it has happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even for me, it was one point. I was like, we're starting, you know, in a month, and then boom, I was like, no, we're not starting in another 3 months. And in my mind, I knew that's a good chance it could fall apart. That's not a good feeling.
How do you guys work your schedule? I mean, you know, you block out this time, and then all of a sudden, like, it's gone, and then you try and fill up your time with other work, or do you just kind of wait?
Yeah, I mean, you're always trying to find other good things to work on, but at the same time, something you care about, you try and, you know, keep yourself available. I don't know, it's probably different for you.
No, I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges of being an actor, is exactly the downside, the times between jobs, where, I mean, our job is so weird that way, where it's not like we're musicians where we can go practice or we can go just do a gig, you know. It's one of the things, like, look, I bring it back to my 18-month-old son. I love what I do, but not that I hope he doesn't do it, but what I hope he does more in his life is find things that that are creatively self-motivating. I think that's like, look, you've created this internet, this site, so that you know every day you can work on it. I think one of the things that's very troubling as an actor is when you don't connect to work, or work doesn't connect to you.
It's maddening. Yeah.
There can be times where you're just sort of wandering through life without, I don't have other passions and other things I'm interested in, but my primary passion, my primary job sometimes can be void for long periods of time.
That's exactly why I created I made the site.
Yeah. That's the thing that makes us all
struggle. Cool, guys.
This was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Hey, nice seeing
again,
you,
as always, yeah.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.